Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 249. It's a Thursday night, which means it's Fab Preview time, everybody. Week 12, Fab Preview coming your way. Some news and notes and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan VHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
We're doing good. It was a hell of a day on the old Twitter. Felt like the old days today. Just all kinds of stuff going on and baseball stuff as well. So I'm doing well, man. This week could be pretty wild and fab. Last week we kind of say took the week off. It was just wasn't as action packed as I think it will be this week. So ton to go through as usual. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I got a little endorphin rush as the bird is
back. You're fired up. Down. Let's go.
Man, my comedic child brain is just ready to fire off on all cylinders. So this should be a doozy this evening. Last week's Fab show, we laughed and had a great time with that. So I'm expecting this one to be hopefully better along the way. Because to your point, we actually have some pickups to discuss. Not trying to just throw stuff at the wind. We actually have a lot of news to mix into this as well. A lot going on for week 12 as we're getting closer and closer to the halfway point of the fantasy baseball season. But as the fantasy baseball season moves on, which means we're closer to the off season, which means we're closer to a trip to Arizona, Ryan. So I think you have something you'd like to announce, as that we might, I'd say 85% are locked into something right about now.
We're pretty locked in. We haven't locked the exact tee times in, but we are holding the fourth annual Bubba in the Bloom golf invitational on Thursday, November 6th, the first day of First Pitch Arizona. We'll have a lot more on this in the coming months, but I do know that for folks who are interested in playing, it's going to be at Dobson Ranch Thursday morning, November 6th. I just know with travel plans and whatnot. Yeah, we're back at Dobson Ranch where it all started. This will be our third year out of four there. But yeah, if you're interested in going, I know you probably need to fly in Wednesday night or whatever. So that's why I'm just kind of giving you that heads up earlier. I put it in the Discord. We've already got a couple groups already formed. So if anyone is interested, if you're going to First Pitch Arizona, or even if you're just a listener, you live in the Phoenix area and you're interested in playing golf with us, just let me or Bubba know, or email the pod. If you're not on social media, email the podcast. BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. Very informal for now. Just let us know you're interested. We'll get your email and I'll follow up in the coming months with a little bit more details. But just want to get that out that we are doing our fourth annual golf tournament, first day of First Pitch Arizona, November 6th, Thursday at roughly like 10, 11 a.m. We'll get the tee times nailed down exactly going forward. But interested, just shoot us a quick note. It's not binding or anything. If you're on the fence, just let us know either way. If you need to bail later on, we totally get it. That happens. But if you're interested, hit us up and we will get you on the list for future details. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be awesome. It always is awesome. Noons be flowing. The sun's usually out and about except for 1 year. It's a great time. And yeah, it's a ways away still, but to Ryan's point, the planning takes more time than you think. Just we make the groups, try to make them accustomed to, you get analysts and first timers, and like we try to make it all worthwhile to everybody. Plus, we got to go get the tee times locked in. And you know, to me, more importantly, Ryan's doing the heavy legwork, but I get to work on ordering tee prizes. So I'd like to have an idea on a quantity sooner than later type situation. So yeah, it's all that kind of jazz to make it worth everybody's time. And the more people we have, we can actually do more of a potential tournament setup as well, which would be pretty sweet. And because Dobson's been great to us throughout all our time, and they're getting bigger and better, and thank God they keep letting us hang around, which is great. So
we're going up against this will be a crossover, but my favorite golf podcast, No Laying Up, is holding their tournament the next day at the same course. It's like, wow, that's freaking awesome. I actually want to go over and meet those guys sometime during First Pitch. But yeah, it won't quite be at No Laying Up level, but we will do what we can. I think we had 16 last year, so we had four full groups. We will try and push that well into the 20s this year. So again, if you're interested, let us know. You'll hear more about it in the future.
And one thing I was thinking the other day when you mentioned the No Laying Up guys being there, I was wondering, does this mean they're not going to punch the fairways like they do every year at this time of the year?
So that's true. It may not be pass only. That's right. Good point.
Yeah. I was wondering about that.
We're just going to ride NLU's coattails to a nice, stress-free event.
And they're sponsored by High Noon, by the way. Some place can be stocked.
They are.
So
that's another good point.
Yes. That was, we locked and loaded. They're not going to know what hit them when they show up on the Thursday after we took care of, or Friday, if we took care of business. But we will definitely annoy you guys with so much more conversation about this. But to Ryan's point, just shoot us a note. It's not binding. We just want to get a rough idea of what's going on in the coming weeks to start planning accordingly to make it the best possible experience for everybody involved. Because we love it, obviously, but for the people, like, we have a handful coming for the fourth time to play with us. Like, this is a deal that many people enjoy doing, and people that miss it for a year, they'll tell you they want to come back. So, get in, have some fun. Let's get after it. All right, some news and notes. We usually cover a ton of the news throughout the team-by-team previews, but there is some news that either happened today or very important news over the last couple of days I'd want to get more depth on with you, Ryan. And that starts with a guy that you posted a picture of the Discord have rostered in a lot of leagues this season.
Sure, yes.
And that is Pablo Lopez. When we talked about it the other night, the fact they're putting him on the IL immediately, I was like, oh, this isn't good. When you know it's already that bad. David Festa already had his start scratched brought up. Pablo Lopez out 8 to 12 weeks with his lat strain, grade 2 lat strain, the same strain that Joe Ryan had last year. But Joe Ryan was in August, so he never had a chance to make it back. He had more time to recover. He's pitching great this year. So there's a whole dilemma. Like, do they just let him rest and say, screw it, we're going to see you next season to get fully recovered? So many things. We talked about it in the Discord. What's your thoughts on what are you doing with Pablo Lopez if it's 8 to 12 weeks?
Yeah, so he's on a bunch of my teams now, but won't be right Sunday. I think pretty easy drop just because if it's a 2 to 3 month timeline, that's what, August, September, and that's like best case. So you're getting Pablo Lopez for a month. What does he look like? Is he fully stretched out? That sort of thing. I could maybe pick him up later. So Pablo Lopez, I think, is a pretty clear drop unless you've just run insanely pure on other injury luck. And I guess it's David Festa time. Not Matt Festa, David Festa time. Check your fab bids, right? Make sure you're getting the right one. Some idiot that I heard of a couple years ago picked up the wrong one, so there's that. I don't know. Festa did his best Jesus Luzardo impression today. Gave up 8 runs, which not ideal, but that will suppress, I think, the fab price. I've been a big David Festa fan. One start doesn't sway me too much, so I'll be in on the bidding for Festa, especially on, of course, the teams that I've lost Pablo Lopez on. Still worried about the lack of length for Festa, both Festa and Zebby Matthews. In that rotation, like just not consistently going more than 5 innings is a problem, but pitching's pitching in 15 teamers. And I think Festa's skilled enough to be added in pretty much all 15 teamers.
Yeah. 15 teamers. There is legit reasons to add them in 12s. I'm not even that interested.
Sadly. Yeah. Yeah. I think you might be right there, especially because you're just the win potential so low.
Yeah, I'd rather just like stream that position week to week with the Cal Quantrills of the world that were good but not great
type
situations. Hey, it didn't suck. I'll put it that I've done the Patrick Corbin thing. I've done a few of these, and they haven't crushed me like Jesus Luzardo has, so it's okay. Yeah. All right, Hunter Green goes back on the IL with a groin injury. They're saying it's still a low grade, is what they said recently, but I think he's still undergoing more testing on that, so we'll wait and see on that scenario. What concerns me the most, Ryan, is he already spent a stint on the IL in early May with the same groin injury. Now he's back, so the soft tissue injury already having an issue that quickly makes me wonder if they really take this slow, like make sure he comes back, because it sucks. When you draft him, you expect him to have an elbow or a shoulder injury at some point in time. No, that's all good. He's pitching great, but now the groin's out of whack. So
yep.
I don't know if you can drop him just yet. I think you need to see more information on Hunter Green, but where are you at on this situation?
That's where I'm at. I don't think you just wait this one out unless some really bad news comes out for Hunter Green. You wait it out. And there's really, unlike David Festa, it's Wade Miley time.
That ain't it, dog.
So it hasn't been Wade Miley time for like 10 to 12 years. So don't be chasing Wade Miley in fab this weekend. But I think that he would slot in the Reds rotation. You want to stream against, as we like to say on the fab previews.
If don't be chasing waterfalls, don't be chasing Wade Miley. That is true. Some positive notes. Kyle Teal Chicago White Sox Kyle Teal. He's going to be promoted to join the team on Friday. Dude's hitting about 295 at AAA, 8 home runs, 7 steals so far this season. He's been playing a lot of first base towards the end of this stint, so it's not necessarily straight to catcher for Kyle Teal, which is a plus. We'll have to wait and see how that develops when he gets called up, because Edgar Caro has not been good. It's been a grind. The contact skills, the patience is fine, but he's just not putting it together. Matt Theis is not it either. So Teal could be the full-time catcher, or they could see what Caro and Teal have. So this will be interesting to see how the weekend goes, Ryan.
Yeah, and I kind of want to punt on, like, what I'm looking for Kyle Teal is where do they play him? Because honestly, I don't even know if I want Kyle. Like, I don't even know if he's actually been playing much first base. He's just been taking grounders over there. Like, to have a guy get called up and learn a new position in the majors at the same time, that may not work out well. So let's see. Maybe they move Caro. Maybe they switch catcher DH. They kind of have an open DH spot with the White Sox. So maybe they just kind of flip those two. But I do want to see, right, this weekend how much Kyle Teal plays. If he plays first, I don't know. I think in general, if you're satisfied with your two catchers, or in a one-catcher league, I don't even think you bid on Kyle Teal. I think if you're satisfied with your two catchers, I wouldn't try and, like, actively find a replacement here, like with Augustin Ramirez. I think unless you're desperate for that second catcher spot, I don't think I'd be in on Kyle Teal. Future's bright, but I just think short term, like trying to learn a new position if he does play first while trying to acclimate to the majors, it's a lot.
I'm with you, because it's really weird. It's like a month ago when Caro got called up, the White Sox were like, oh, we're not going to bring Teal up till next season.
Right
now, it's a month later, here we are. So wait and see how that one goes. Francisco Lindor was out of the lineup on Thursday as he has a broken pinky toe. He said he's going to play through it. It's a matter of pain tolerance is what he has to deal with. I was saying on the RotoWire show today with Eric Halterman that why don't you just put him in a boot for a week and let it fully heal? Makes sense to me, but they're going to let him go through this. So I want to get your thoughts on this before I talk any more on Lindor, because you got to start him, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, I don't really have many thoughts, because, I mean, what do you do? You're not going to bench Francisco Lindor, so.
But it's like, does he run anymore now?
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. I certainly hope so, because I have Lindor in some leagues. That's your guy. It's funny, but our Lindor Mookie Betts beer bet, and they've both broken toes. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm winning that bet.
Random way, observation. So. You are. That's one of the few you're actually winning. So
yes, hey, everyone counts in my book. Everyone counts.
You have a lot at stake here with Francisco Lindor, but no, I don't think it doesn't seem serious enough that they're going to bench him. Maybe that's a misdiagnosis. I have no idea, but from a fantasy standpoint, there's really nothing to do. You just hope.
Speaking of hope, Matthew Liberatore left his start after 70 pitches on Thursday. The early reports was fatigue. Is what they said. And the beat writers all put those in quotes.
Like arm fatigue or my man was out of breath, or
let me give you the exact quote.
Because I'm fatigued right now.
He's way too young. He's not 40. He's way too young. I'm a man. Damn it. He's not. So the quote was Matthew Liberatore was removed from the game due to quote unquote fatigue related issues.
Yeah.
Not good.
Wait and see, I guess. And I don't
know. That's all you can do, but something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, fatigue-related issues. That sounds like me at work on Monday.
That's me at Sunday at FPS hitting the airport. that's me on Sunday night leaving Vegas this last year. Last one I got here, and it's another just kind of monitor thing over the weekend, but something to keep in mind. If you're doing fab, you might need a third catcher this week. Shea Bangaliers left Thursday's game. They call it the flank injury, the oblique injury that they keep using now. So definitely keep an eye on that situation, because a powerhouse like that, if he does have a flank issue, that's going to be a problem.
Is the flank the same as the oblique?
It's pretty much, I think, what it came pretty down much. To with. That's the I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express diagnosis.
Yeah, so, why am I asking you? But more just
I can't even tell where my flank's located. Yeah. So we're kind of
the only there. Flanks you have are flanks are on the Weber on the weekends. Yep.
Yeah. So good too. A flank steak is such an underrated cut of meat.
you get concerned anytime it's a side issue. I mean, just look at all the oblique injuries that we've had this season. So let's again just hope we will see what else comes of it. But yeah, not ideal for Mr. Bengaliers.
Not at all. All right, with all that being said, let's get after it. Fab preview week 12. Ryan, why don't you kick us off with what we're looking at this week?
Oh, I'm all thrown off. I don't have it up.
Not even prepared. So we're doing the week by week schedule as usual.
Oh, I went away. Oh, God, I'm screwed up.
Which you can get on the week by week schedule on the Patreon. Ryan puts this together as weekly planner. You got the current week schedule, the next week schedule. We'll talk about top free agent risers and fallers and the starting pitcher planner, which I've been utilizing a lot lately to find some sneaky, potentially sneaky fab targets. So Ryan's back. What are we looking at this week?
We're back. That was very unprofessional of me. Looking at this week in terms of games played, pretty much every team gets six except for the NL Central. NL Central's working overtime except for the Reds. You've got the Cubs, Brewers. I almost called them the Steelers. Jesus.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, might as well. The Pirates are actually playing right now. There are more. I think we have more listeners to our show than are at the Pirates. It's a 3.5-hour rain delay against the Astros. They're actually playing as we record. Pirates get seven, and then the Cardinals get seven games as well. Everyone else is at six games this week. So again, no five gamers. Your Rockies are home for three, and then on the road for three. Your Athletics, and I'm just kind of calling out the major hitting environments. Athletics are on the road all week after I think they were home in Sacramento all this week. So those are the two big kind of park factor. I guess we're small park. What are we doing there?
They should be on the road too. Just a full week at home.
Yep. Yeah. Cincinnati is on the road for six games this week as well. So keep those in mind.
One thing I've noticed, and this could be just dub, oh, you're an idiot, but the A's, it's usually 1 week on, 1 week off because the Sacramento River Cats need to come home and play games too. So I'm pretty sure
they do exist. That's right.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a trend all season. It's like, okay, A's, you get it for a week. Now the AAA team gets it for a week. Now the Quad A team gets it for a week. The AAA team gets it for a week. That's how it's going to go the rest of the year, I think.
Jesus, so, that's a disaster.
Yeah. So let's keep that in mind as we're looking at the schedules throughout the season. If you want to plan ahead without even looking at a sheet, you got it. All right, Ryan, we're going to mix it up this week to the request of a listener. Whoa. We're going to the bottom of the board and working backwards. We're going NL West, going to the top. And we won't do this every week, but hey, we had a request. We'll give it a whirl. We'll see where it goes. So we're going to start out with the San Francisco Giants. They start the week with six games on the road, three at Coors, three at the Dodgers, two lefties, four righties. That Coors series is one lefty and two righties. And Ryan, the Giants have done a lot of things to their roster the last week. Not saying I condone them all, but they've done a lot of things.
Right. No more Lamont Wade. We've added Dominic Smith, who I don't think is
a big RBI addable. Double today. Watch out.
Had an RBI double today. I don't know. Usually the Giants are the last team and I'm like tired by then. So I just say, Bubba, you take it. So I think I'm just going to do that again. What's your take on the Giants this week?
Well, what you got hitting wise, not too much.
Yeah.
Is quiet. Right. Daniel Johnson got called up and he started the game over Yaz on Wednesday with a righty on the mound. That kind of was like, ooh, that's not good. Something to monitor there. Willie Adames is a bench right now. Do not cut him. He's a bench. He still has the metrics that suggest he should be a lot better, but that is a serious funk with him right now. I'd buy low if you're in a trading league. I think he's still going to figure it out. I'm not that concerned. It's the save situation. Duvall got the save again on Thursday. He blew one the other day. Ryan Walker came in on Wednesday. It wasn't great, but the defense did fail him a bit as well. They brought Randy Rodriguez in. Randy Rodriguez continues to look filthy. But after the game, the Giants said they don't want to really use him on back-to-backs. So he might be one of those kind of like Tommy Canley types that gets a couple saves here and there. But he's going to get you great ratios and strikeouts. So I don't mind Randy Rodriguez, Abner Uribe type, if you want to go that direction. So that's how I would approach the pitching side of this. Verlander supposed to be back at the start of the week in Colorado, which probably means Kyle Harrison is gone from the rotation. I think that sums up most of the active roster.
And Duvall, did you say Duvall got the save today?
Yes, he got the save today.
So, I mean, it sounds like it's still Duvall.
It's Duvall's job, but it's one of those, like, they didn't use him because it was back-to-backs. Walker had his chance. It struggled, went to Randy. They might not let Walker next time. It might go straight to Randy type situation. Yeah. So something to think about there.
I mean, but it's still in flux despite a 167 ERA for Duvall. Like, that is very much luck fueled. The control has not been great. I mean, you've seen him. You're preaching to the choir here, but like a 10% strikeout minus walk, that is actually really bad. So this is, I don't think the story is over on the San Francisco Giants ninth inning.
No. What I am going to suggest for anybody that can stash players in NPC, very difficult. Other formats possible. Bryce Eldridge is coming, folks.
Yeah.
Bryce Eldridge is coming. Hit a grand slam at AAA on Thursday. He got called up like Monday or Tuesday to AAA. I think the Lamont Wade thing, he needs to go. I've been kind of asking for that for a while. Jared Encarnacion's up, but they're not playing him regularly. If they played him regularly, I'd say pick him up immediately. That's tricky. But Dominic Smith to me is like a 1 month rental, is what it comes down to. Bryce Eldridge just needs more reps at AAA, it feels like. And at worst, it's the All-Star break. I hope it's a little sooner. I'm thinking maybe All-Star breakish. We see Bryce Eldridge, and then it's his turn to run with it, unless the Giants really just screw the pooch on this one. But it feels like that's the guy you want to start stashing. He is legit as it comes, and I'm very excited for it.
I was a little surprised they even signed Dom Smith, but maybe they just want Eldridge a little bit more time. It does make sense. It does seem like Dom is a rental, and we will see Eldridge. So good call. Good call. Yep.
All right, let's go to the San Diego Padres. They have six games this week, three at home versus the Dodgers, three at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Our sheets are clean, thank goodness. He was a little scared last Sunday, but a little extra Tide Pods. We're good. He's back, and he's raking again, and it's another phenomenal schedule for him.
Yep. Rub some Tide Pods on it and get back out there, Gavin. You're good to go. I don't have much. We almost never have much on the Padres. The only thing I would look at is Xander Bogaerts' shoulder is kind of barking again. Missed Thursday. I'm not saying to cut or anything like that, but just if you have other options and like Bogaerts doesn't either play or doesn't look good this weekend, you may want to grab a middle infielder as insurance in Fab this weekend, because I could see this where like, because Bogaerts does kind of play through everything. Yes. This could be Gene Segura. Like, my Gene Segura radar is going off a little bit here, where Bogaerts is playing every day, but he's kind of playing hurt, not doing much. So just keep an eye on that one with Xander.
I would agree with that. In 15s and 12s, honestly, even not hurt, you can drop him. He's hitting .238 with three home runs and 11 steals. Like, he's doing nothing for you. Like, steals are fine, I guess, but there are better middle infield options you can stream. I think his barrel rate's down to a career low. The lowest it's been since 2017. There's a lot of glaring issues with Xander Bogaerts. Like, he might have already been hurt.
Maybe because of the shoulder. So,
but I'm saying, like, if they're not going to put him on the aisle to get it fixed, I wouldn't even feel like rostering him personally. I get it in a 15 depth wise, but if we're looking at like just, I have NFBC up right now, just middle infielders, let's just say that are rostered in less than 50% of leagues right now, like, or even 60%, like, Gavin Lux is there if you're feeling Caleb Durbin, 62%. Like, you want to go Caleb Durbin in that regard. Tyro Estrada's at 33. Ernie Clement, don't forget him. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has actually been sneaky good. Like, I think they're all better options personally.
All this was just a ploy so you could mention Ernie Clement. Xander Bogaerts is rostered in 100% of NFBC 12 teamers, started in 95%. So
yeah, that's a wasted roster. That is a Gene Segura right there. So just something to bring up if you're paying attention to that. And Uncle Ted brings up something interesting. Is Jeremiah Estrada is getting save situations, but it's only, I want to clarify for him, when Robert Suarez is working back-to-back games. So don't get too excited on that. But Estrada is getting looks to do that. And if something were to be like a trade in case for Robert Suarez, Estrada is your guy. But I don't see Suarez going anywhere just yet.
Ditto.
All right. Los Angeles Dodgers, six games this week, three at the Padres, three at home versus the Giants, six righties on tap here. And this is a Dodgers team that is banged up at the moment. And you know what I saw today, Ryan? Because they came back and beat the Mets again. For a team that's quote-unquote so elite, they have 21 of their wins in walk-off or like come-from-behind victories. That's called luck, folks. And this is me not even trying to throw shade at the Dodgers, but like, if any team not named LA, like if it was the Royals had 21 come from line wins, they'd be like, oh, they're lucky. Like, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're trying to say, but I can also hear your Dodgers hate coming out here. So it's a little bit, you're picking on them.
And they're hurt, and especially in the rotation. The rotation is just destroyed. Right.
Like now. They're a good team. They're not a great team right now, but the lineup's still the lineup. So there's not really much fab there. I wonder, Tommy Edman missed two more games this week. I wonder about that. But Max Muncy and Pajes are just on fire carrying that lineup right now. Will Smith, the number two catcher in fantasy there, number three catcher. who's counting anyway. But yeah, they're banged up because of the rotation. There's not too much you can do about it. The only name I'll kind of throw out there, and I don't even know if it's stash worthy. Like, I'd rather, I don't know. It's Emmett Sheehan. He's looking good in rehab, but I don't think, it's just a name to come up in a couple weeks. Anyone who pitches on the Dodgers, you're interested in. But outside of that, I don't see much in terms of who you're going to pick up here. Tanner Scott got the save, I think, today. Did look good. He looked fine. I think he'll be fine. Skills look good, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much else on the Dodgers.
Yeah, Michael Kopech and Kirby Yates are coming back this weekend as well. So they got that. Like, Justin Robleski's starting on Friday. They'd landed Knack start on Thursday. It's brutal. And just for an update, over the last 30 days in the Fantasy Player Raider on Fangraphs, Will Smith is now the fifth catcher in baseball, if you're curious. Just wanted to throw that out there. It's still a work in progress, some might say, with Will Smith. Okay. All right. The Colorado Rockies, they have six games coming up this week, three at home against the Giants and three on the road against Atlanta. Tough week for the Rockies as usual, but they're coming off a sweep, folks. Big sweep in Miami. Two lefties, four righties for the Rocks.
Yeah, and Kyle Freeland pitched well today. So,
now this is getting ridiculous.
He did pitch well.
Yeah.
I'll throw out, we mentioned Tyro Time last week, but I will throw out Tyro Estrada, who's still only 33% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers, started in 16%. Looks pretty good to me. It hasn't shown much power yet, but we'll see if he runs, that sort of thing. But getting hits, playing, I like that. So Tyro Estrada, I'll throw out for middle infield.
Yeah, that's about it, because the Rockies are going to rock you. Chase Dolander's back off the IL. If that's something that does it for you, doesn't do it for me. But he's back. He pitched okay. He only threw three innings against Miami, so they're still working him back. But he's back, technically. Arizona Diamondbacks, they have six games this week, all at home. Three against Seattle, three against San Diego, all right-handed pitching to face the D-backs this week, which, Pavin Smith's been fine, but not great. He could still stream him. He's not great by any means. Watch the Josh Naylor news. He left Thursday's game. He's got a sore shoulder and hand. Apparently, he's been dealing with it for a while now. So, something to monitor over the weekend there. Other than that, if you go to Fangraphs, they have three starting pitchers.
Yeah, not great. No. Not great. We mentioned
Erod's coming back on Friday, though, so that'll change.
Erod's coming back. We mentioned Ryan Nelson as the Corbin Burns replacement on Tuesday. Ryan Nelson would line up at Cincinnati. No, that's not right. No, that's Sunday or this weekend at Cincinnati, and then gets at home against the Padres. Ryan Nelson, I think, is just a streamer, depending on matchups. So I'm not too excited about Ryan Nelson going forward there. But yeah, Pavin Smith, I think, quietly has not been that great, but whatever. I still think Pavin Smith is good, and in a six game right-handed week, I think you stream that for sure.
You definitely stream that. And then watch the closing situation. Justin Martinez has not been good since he's come back. Shelby Miller got the save on Thursday. I still don't think Shelby Miller is that great either, but this might not be as automatic as we once thought.
So true. Martinez was not available Thursday. He had pitched 37 pitches the night before, but still had to throw 37 pitches to get the save to your original point.
Yeah, it's been ugly. And the last bit of news I'll have here, by the time you listen to this show, it'll be Friday, which means we're supposed to get Corbin Burns news. So be ready for that one.
I'm sure that'll be rosy.
The doctor reattach news is supposed to come out on Friday.
So yeah. Yeah.
That should be a doozy. All right. St. Louis Cardinals, they have seven games this week, three at home versus Toronto, four at the Brew Crew. It's one lefty and six righties. But as usual, Ryan, there's not a lot in St. Louis.
No, I just wanted to, I don't have much, so I'll figure I'd just throw in a little update on Mr. Mason. I want to steal 30 bases this year, win. We're at two, my friend. We're at two. So looking good for Bo Bichette.
There's more to the bet than just steals, though. So if we want to go there, I can pull up Bo Bichette's line if you'd like, and we could, because last time you did this, we went to the player editor. I think Wynn was ahead of him, right? Did I remember that correctly?
Yeah, we can move on. I just want to get you going.
I know. I'm kidding. It's fun. We enjoy doing this. People think we like fight, and we're actually having fun with this. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. Just watch the Libertor news. Watch the Libertor news, because that
watch the Libertor news. I mean, with the Cardinals playing well, right, they're six games above 500. Like the chances of a Ryan Helsley trade and potentially Phil Maton stepping in, like that seems to be waning. So it's just a team that has been pretty healthy lineup wise recently, and they don't platoon really. So there's just not much to say.
Yeah, and if there is anything wrong with Libertor, Michael McGreevy could get some run, and I am a little interested in Michael McGreevy. So keep an eye on that one. I have some DC shares of Mr. McGreevy that I don't want to lose Libertor for, but that might be the play there.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they have seven games this week, three at home versus Miami, four at the Cubs, one lefty, six righties on tap for you here, but it's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It is the Pittsburgh Pirates, but it is a pretty easy schedule. So it's a 12% strikeout minus walk for the starting pitchers going against Pittsburgh. That includes your guy, Cal Quantrill, in that 12.4. I think he's bringing that average down a little bit. The one name I will throw out is Nick Gonzalez as a middle infield pickup this week. Probably slightly behind. If I had to rank like Thairo Estrada and Nick Gonzalez, I'd go Estrada. But Nick Gonzalez is someone who I was very high on in draft season, took him on a bunch of teams for middle infield in like the, I don't know, 20th, 22nd round in 15 teamers, returned on Tuesday, has started two of the three games. But I think Nick Gonzalez is a regular at second base for Pittsburgh. And granted, even if it's just Pittsburgh, I think he hits near the middle of that order. So I like Nick Gonzalez if you need middle infield, or hell, even if you're desperate for second base, he could fit. I like him.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think there's definitely a place for him in that. Interested in Bailey Falter versus Miami?
Yeah, slightly.
Miami sucks versus lefties.
Slightly. You've got that. You've got, what about Mike Burrows? Two-step?
No.
No?
Right. At least Falter we've seen like be serviceable and get you through six innings.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much from Burrows at all.
Jesus. Bailey Falter, Cal Quantrill Wednesday. That'll probably be a matinee.
Pirates, I might have to call it sick to work and finally, I might have to finally fire up the playback for that one.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'll probably be working, but that'd be a fun one. That'd be in.
Sure.
But so I just want to bring up Falter. That Miami situation is still not great at all.
Yeah. No, good point. That's a decent stream this week, Bailey Falter. I like that.
Milwaukee Brewers, they have seven games this week, all at home at Family Field Park or whatever they call it now. Three versus Atlanta, four versus St. Louis. It's one lefty and six righties on tap here. Milwaukee's bats have quietly got going. I just don't know who you're going to add outside of maybe Caleb Durbin.
Right. And Durbin's starting to get a little bit more rostered. Joey Ortiz has like shown a little bit of sign of life lately, but not much. Their only true platoon guy in a six right-handed week is Jake Bowers. We're not doing that. Just hope for
real quick. I like how they have him as a platoon, but he still sat in two of the three righties.
That's true. That's true. Well, who the hell is their left fielder? Oh, Daz. I guess Daz Cameron's.
Daz has been playing. Yeah.
And your guy, Isaac Collins, hit a homer this week.
I almost texted you that just to like say what's up. Put some respect on the name.
Outside of the Collins family, probably the only text message transmitted about his home run. What's up with Brandon Woodruff, man? Like, what did he do to piss off the injury gods?
Snake bitten is not even a fair term.
What, did he get hit in the arm, the elbow, or something?
Yeah, he got hit by a comebacker. Now he's back on the IL. Like, the dude gets through all of his rehabs, gets to his last start, gets hurt every time now. It's the weirdest thing. That's just, it's almost like, you know, it's not meant to be, homie. That's the.
Well, it's got to be frustrating for, I mean, people who have, because Brandon Woodruff's still widely, widely rostered. And it's like, he's so close that, another setback.
I'm going to throw one out there because I noticed it when I was prepping for DFS recently, and he's pitching again. Noticed him in the matchups column for Friday. And that's Mr. Two First Names himself, Chad Patrick.
Yep.
He's got the Braves next week, which honestly is not as scary as it usually is.
Correct.
And then he's got at Cubs and at Minnesota the following week, which, you know, the Cubs are really good. Minnesota's hit and miss. But when you're looking at the two first names, he has given up 3 earned runs or less in every single start this year. Every single start. Now, he hasn't gone 5 at every start, but we've seen him get 8K, 6K, 7Ks in his last 3 with only 3 walks. We're seeing improvements, my points. Like, we're seeing some vast improvements. I think he's worth rostering in at least 12s and deepers right now.
Okay. I can sign off on that.
So, yeah, wanted to throw that out. Throw some more pitchers out there once in a while for everybody with some of these juicy matchups they have in store coming up. All right, the Reds on the road for 6, as you mentioned earlier, at Cleveland, at Detroit, 1 lefty, 5 righties. I kind of want to stick with Will Benson, even though they're not at home.
Right. Yeah, I think you could still. And Will Benson has so much power that it kind of almost doesn't matter where he plays. Obviously, playing at home would help. Whereas someone like Jake Fraley, who's the other platoon guy against righties, like, it does matter a lot where Jake Fraley plays. So I could get behind a Will Benson stream. It's another easy schedule, right? It's a 12%, similar to what we saw with Pittsburgh, 12% K-minus walk for the 6 pitchers going against the Reds this week. So yeah, even though they're on the road, I like Benson and to a lesser extent Fraley. I always like Jake Fraley though, so feel free to ignore that advice. We talked about him on Tuesday's show and it wasn't so hot. So
yeah, Wade Miley's so good. He's written down twice on Roster Resource. That says a lot about what's going on there in that situation. Chicago Cubs. They have 7 games this week, 3 at Philly, 4 at home versus Pittsburgh. So the Philly series, challenging, technically, if Lizardo shows up for once. Pittsburgh series outside of Skeens, not so much. So very interesting week, 2 lefties, 5 righties for the Cubs.
Yeah, but not much you're doing, right? I mean, pretty much every Cub is widely rostered, maybe except for Matt Shaw, who I think went 3 for 5, 2 steals today. So that was nice. But outside of that,
he's 100% rostered now.
Matt Shaw's 100%? Wow.
Yeah. Yep. They're all pretty much rostered. That's the Cubs are good. Cubs are good.
Cubs are really good.
So not much else to add there. They used Pomeranz to open for Ray. So Ray picked up the win on Thursday. Don't know if you can rely on that, but something to keep in mind.
Yeah, they did that with Ben Brown last week. It wasn't Pomeranz who opened. It was somebody else. But Ben Brown was a follower and pitched extremely well. I don't know if he got the win or not, but maybe that's something they're going to start to do. Have we heard anything on Porter Hodge? Like, are we still feeling pretty safe about Mr. Palencia?
I'm still going with Palencia. I haven't heard a word since they said Porter Hodge was throwing on flat ground and was dealing with something else. Like, I can't remember now, but I haven't heard an update since then. It's been like a week. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So that means he's probably coming back tomorrow. But yeah. Washington Nationals, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at the Mets, 3 at home versus Miami, 2 lefties and 4 righties. A team that's also pretty widely rostered. I did mention Hassel last week, and he played well. He's still only 43% rostered.
Yeah, Hassel's holding his own at least so far. I'll throw Josh Bell out there. He's 14% rostered in 12 teamers, so I like that. Josh Bell has been hot, but it's not just that. It's the year-to-date skills, a 20% strikeout rate, which is better than league average, 11% barrel rate, which is better than league average. So if you're looking at needing corner infield, I think Bell in a pretty easy week. It's a 13% strikeout minus walk for the pitchers going against the Nationals. I think Josh Bell is a decent add, at least while he's hitting and playing.
Almost made him my cover boy last week for the Fab article. I picked up a lot of Bell in the last few weeks, and I have a lot of him in DCs because he was so cheap. So he's in some lineups for me already as we speak. So I'm with you.
He's been full-time DH.
Yep, he's playing every day. Yeah, it's not a concern about playing time. It's production, and the production is getting there now. So I'm with you on that for sure. All right, Philadelphia Phillies, 6 games all at home this week, 3 versus Chicago, 3 versus Toronto, the Cubs, I mean. They play the same guys every day, basically.
They do. I do want to bring up what your thoughts are on Mick Abel, who it seems like with the Nola setback at least gets a few more turns in the rotation. I think has 11 strikeouts to no walks so far through his first 2 outings. And I mean, mentioned Jesus Luzardo at the top of the show. Like, could there be something going on there with an Eielston or something that the Phillies might want to correct there, given that Jesus Luzardo has given up 22-0 earned runs over his last two starts? So I think Mick Abel actually has like a decent amount of run in the Phillies rotation. Matchup wise, it would be
the Cubs.
The Cubs, and then who after that?
Well, it depends, because Wheeler comes back Monday.
It depends when Wheeler, yeah. Yeah.
If Nolan doesn't come back, Wheeler gets a two-step next week, which would mean Abel would get a two-step the following week at Miami and versus the Mets. A lot of ifs, though, in this situation. Yeah.
But I think
I disagree with you.
Yeah, it's my 15-team brain, but like Mick Abel actually has, you know, some skills, and I think we'll get a few more turns at the very least in the rotation. So that combination of things makes Mick Abel, he'll be in my list for sure.
Well, I may say he might be able to stick on a fantasy roster near you. The New York Mets, they have six games this week, all at home, three versus the Nationals, three versus the Rays, one lefty and five righties for the pinky-less Francisco Lindor. What are you liking with the Mets?
Well, it's the pinky toe, not the pinky.
Yes.
Pinky toe. I'd rather have him.
Yeah. Details.
I'd rather him have his pinky than his toe. I guess we got to talk Ronnie Mauricio, right? Like,
yep. Ronnie Mauricio, who sat on Thursday but played the first two games. Yes.
So, yeah. I think in general, my take is I'm going to be pretty tepid on Ronnie Mauricio bids. The Thursday benching, like, not a great sign. The temporary nature of Mark Vientos, I think, being out, what happens when Vientos comes back off the IL. And though Mauricio has been good this season, it has been a long while since Mauricio's been a kind of a premier prospect. So all those things kind of combined, I don't think, like, I think I'd probably just prefer, I'm trying to think of specific names, examples, whatever, but like I probably prefer a more MLB veteran streamer who gets regular playing time right now than Ronnie Mauricio. I could be way wrong, but that's where I stand.
Yes, I'm with you. With Vientos, it's a low grade strain. He's going to receive treatment for 10 to 14 days before restarting baseball activities. So this could be like a 3-week deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yep. It can poison on that, so we'll see. But I'm with you. Anything else with the Mets on this one?
Not really. I heard you mention on your RotoWire podcast appearance today with Eric Halterman, our good buddy. Great job on that. I heard you mention Luisanel Acuña. Probably should have mentioned at the top with the Lindor thing, like if Lindor is out, if this turns out to be more than just pain management, we could see more of little Acuña, but I don't think you want to bank on that for Fab unless we get news over the weekend.
I'm with you there. Miami Marlins, six games this week, three at Pittsburgh, three at the Nationals, three lefties, three righties, which doesn't help much at all. So what are you seeing with the Marlins?
Won't be available, I don't think, in NFBC leagues because he starts Monday, but Yuri Perez is back and goes right into a two-step at Pittsburgh and should be at Washington. So that's interesting. League rules kind of dictate how, even if Yuri Perez is available, but I don't know. I think we talked about Yuri Perez already, but I wouldn't be like super, super aggressive just because the track record coming off of elbow surgeries and long layoffs like this, like, hasn't been great. I mean, just look at Sandy in that same rotation. But Yuri Perez, I mean, you can't argue with the talent, comes right into a two-step. Like, you need to at least think about what you want to bid for him.
Yeah, I think Yuri is very much in play. Like you said, we get a week to figure all of that out, which is a plus, of course. But I'm not too excited about that. With three lefties, three righties, I do want to mention, does Jesus Sanchez do anything for you?
Jesus Sanchez always does something for me, but it's a tough week for Jesus. 3-3. I don't know if you may be able to roll with Jesus Sanchez like during the week, Monday through Thursday, because you get the one lefty, two righties, and it's pretty easy. But next weekend, Jesus Sanchez, even if he plays, it's it may not be great. So worried about Jesus.
Yep. Yeah, he's been heating up, playing versus lefties and righties. So we'll see where that one lands. Apologies for the connection. StreamYard is shitting the bed on me right now, folks, because my internet's just fine. I've been testing that out. So apologies on that one. Atlanta Braves, they're coming up with six games this week, three at Milwaukee, three at home versus Colorado, one lefty and five righties on tap for you here. I don't have a whole lot when it comes to the Braves hitting, at least.
Yeah, not the hitting. I think we have to talk about Raisel Iglesias, right? Like another bad outing tonight. I think ERA is 5-6, whatever it is, gold jacket, green jacket. Braves called up. I was looking at the kind of during the meltdown today. I was just looking at the rotation, the bullpen for the Braves. There's not much. There's Dylan Lee, who could be an option. This Daysbell Hernandez guy, I think, went to the IL today. He led the league in walk rate of any pitcher more than 20 innings pitched. So he was not an option. So we may be back to Captain Craig Kimbrell, which I didn't even realize he was in the minors for the Braves, to be honest with you. But he's back. And I don't know if he's back. If the Braves call him up, like, you would think he enters the closer picture, right?
Yeah. He's pitching well at AAA, too.
Has he? I have not looked up Kimbrell's stats at AAA. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but if he looks good in the minors, I don't know. You'll have two or three more days to kind of figure this out with Iglesias. And I don't think Iglesias himself is a drop. I think you just hold him unless there's IL news or something. But, it could be Craig Kimbrell time again in our year 2025.
Our year of the Lord, 2025, could be Craig Kimbrell time. It's a pretty crazy stuff, to say the least. Let's head to the Texas Rangers here. Three at Minnesota, three at home versus the White Sox. All right-handers on tap for you here. Marcus Semien starting to hit very well, Ryan, if that does anything for you. Anyone else stand out to you with Texas?
Not really. My nemesis, Evan Carter, is back. I think we all know. I'm lower on Evan Carter than most, but did return on Tuesday. We'll see. I still don't think he plays against lefties. So it's a right-handed week, all right-handed week for Texas. So could be a good time for Evan Carter to get right. And then you never know from there if you like Evan Carter. Outside of that, I don't really have anything. Robert Garcia blew a save today and Chris Martin is back. We had a question about that in the Discord. From what I can gather, I did not see the Robert Garcia outing, but apparently was some pretty bad defense, some of which was Garcia's fault, but I still think Robert Garcia is somewhat safe in the role, even with Chris Martin back, but you never know. So keep an eye on that one.
All righty. I'm with you on that. Robert Garcia should be safe, but time will tell. Let's go to the Seattle Mariners. They have six games this week, three at Arizona, three at home versus Cleveland, one lefty, five righties on tap for Seattle. This is one of those, if you have Cal Raleigh, go for it, enjoy life. But I don't have a lot here. I know you've been Leody. I know Rowdy's doing okay, but anything else for you there?
Not really. There was a report, Logan Gilbert, with diminished velocity in his rehab start. He blamed it on not being able to throw weighted balls or something in between innings. Keep an eye on that. Outside of that, what's your thoughts on Cole Young? I know you've talked about him a little bit already, but just for the folks that listen to this show, I'm somewhat tepid. Has been hitting in the bottom of the lineup, but I think still plays regularly. So if you need, like, I'd still rather take like Tyro or Nick Gonzalez than Young, but an option in the infield.
He's hitting $100. He's paying .067. So far since he's been recalled with one RBI, and he's striking out 37.5% of the time. So that doesn't do it for me. I know our buddy Dom was hoping I would get there. No barrels, 25% hard hit rate. It's been dreadful to say the least.
I will say 14 plate appearances. Don't go too hard on my guy here.
He's hitting .277 with five homers and four steals at AAA this year. Like, he's a big time. Well, not big. He's one of their higher prospects. He's also 21 years old, so we have to kind of wait and see how that all pans out, and it might take time. So if they're going to give him the regular reps, okay, cool. Maybe take a cheap bid and see where it goes. But he had a very, very long foul ball the other day that people were like, oh, so close to a home run. That's a foul ball. Other than that, I'm not overly excited on it. I'm with you on this. But some people like him a lot, and I'm not one of them.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. And other than that, like Logan Gilbert made a rehab start this past week. He's, I think he gets one more rehab start because he went 60 pitches.
No, he definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we got another round of the rotation for Hancock, at least. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the A's, 3 at the Baltimore Orioles, 3 lefties, 3 righties, which makes it real tricky to stream your Angels like this past week with all the righties they faced. But man, Joe Adele has been insane, and I dropped him a few places early this year, and I'm regretting it.
That's the name who I was going to bring up. So great call. Still hitting like 7th between like Luis Rengifo and Chris Taylor. Let's get him up a little bit. Joe Adele, we've seen when he gets hot, he gets hot. So Joe Adele, I like as a good pickup. He's something like 20-25% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. The only thing with Joe Adele, and we mentioned this with Rengifo and our good friend Michael Cecchini called this out on the Tuesday episode. Joe Adele is not running in 181 plate appearances for Joe Adele. He has 2 stolen base attempts. Been successful on both, but he, like every other Angel not named Zach Neto, has been stagnant on the base pass. So that does kind of temper a little bit with Joe Adele, because I think you're always going to have the bad batting average. If I can live with bad batting average if it comes with good power and steals. If it's just power only, I'm a little concerned. So Joe Adele is hot. I think you can ride him if you need some power in the outfield, but I'd like to see him run more.
And keep an eye on Jorge Soler. He left Wednesday's game with a groin injury. They did not play on Thursday, so we'll get more news on that on Friday. But that could be another avenue for more playing time for someone in the outfield. Not sure who we'd want because Matthew Lugo got called up. He's not playing, but just something to keep an eye, all things considered.
Yeah.
All right. The Houston Astros, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the White Sox, 3 at home versus Minnesota. All righties on deck, which means Jacob Melton should play every single day.
Yeah, Jacob Melton, I think, is a strong side platooner for Houston, but that works this week because, like you said, it is all right-handed pitching. Jacob Melton stole his first base tonight, so that is nice to see him somewhat off and running. I'm not even going to list his stats so far because it's been 9 plate appearances, but did get 2 hits tonight, 2 ribs.
And a stolen base.
And a stolen base. So I think kind of low-key Jacob Melton, he's not going to be the Caglione or the Mauricio even. Maybe he goes for more than Mauricio. I don't know. But I like Jacob. Like, I like Jacob Melton more than Mauricio for short term. Yes. So yes. If you can get him cheaper in Fab, I think that's absolutely the play. And, yeah, I think I will be definitely bidding on Jacob Melton this week.
Can you guess what's really annoying me about the Astros right now?
No, actually.
Shea Whitcomb got called up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He hasn't played in 5 games.
I made a note of that, too. Yes, he has not started. That's your guy, too.
Dude is destroying AAA, like hotter than probably anybody else in baseball at the point in time he gets called up and has not seen a starting lineup yet.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I like Shea. I'm with you because you've mentioned him on your AL East or AL East, AL West playing time tomorrow columns at Baseball HQ. Like, the skills are there, but yeah, 0 starts. So you can't do anything with that.
We'll talk 2 steps later, but Ryan Gusto gets a 2 step this week. White Sox, Minnesota. Yep. So that's fine. I want to bring up Colton Gordon of the Astros. He gets the White Sox midweek. He pitches on Friday this week. Riding the matchups, he stood out in a big way. He's gone 5 innings in his last 3 starts, which is a plus. He's allowed 3-3-3-3 and 4 runs. So the runs, not ideal. The ERA indicator suggests he should be better than that. But I'm seeing 20 Ks to 4 walks in 19 2/3 innings. We get the White Sox. Is that it? It interests me. That's all I'm trying to say.
It does, especially because of the matchup, because the White Sox. But it's also, right, it's that 20% K-minus walk. It's really good control. Colton Gordon's running with a 29% ball rate, which is great. He's not missing a ton of bats, but, like, I mean, all these guys are going to have flaws if you're streaming. So, yeah, Colton Gordon against the White Sox I like quite a bit. Just know it's probably a 1-week thing because his next start would line up to be at the Athletics, and you don't want to mess with that. But for this coming week, I like Colton Gordon as a streamer, and I would think widely available.
Yes, widely available is correct. Speaking of the Athletics, they have 6 games this week, all on the road, as we mentioned, because the River Cats are in town. Maybe the better team. Maybe they should scrimmage. 3 at the Angels, 3 at the Royals, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Max Muncy's back, went deep on Thursday, but that still doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Muncy up for pretty much for Andujar. I think Andujar, it's an oblique for him, right? So
yeah, and I don't even think I've seen a grade on that, so it's been kind of hush-hush.
I'm actually semi-interested in Max Muncy. Like, maybe not this week because it's all on the road, but power numbers look pretty good in AAA. 12% barrel rate, good exit velo, slugging 500, and I know it's AAA, but I don't know. Maybe a conditional kind of low bid, but I wouldn't totally write off Max Muncy, even though the first stint didn't go as planned.
Yeah, I won't argue that. I think there's a viability to what you're trying to say.
He's going to play, right? I mean, at least in the short term, he's going to play. So I don't know. Again, this is more my Bubba goes at these a lot more from the 12 team standpoint, and I go at this more from the 15. Hopefully that helps everyone. But if I need middle infield, like, he'd be below the other middle infielders I'd mentioned so far, but I'd probably have Muncy for a few bucks. And if it falls down there and I get him, let's see what happens.
It's hard to ignore hitting 325 with 3 homers and a steal in 31 AAA games. So maybe the first stint wasn't great. He's back. He's already homered in his first 2 games. So that's why I'm saying I could see where you're coming from if you want to try to stash him now and see if he can develop and you have him cheap before next week when Sacramento. The following week, they got 4 against Houston and 3 against Cleveland all at home. So it's 7 game week. So yeah, I could see where you're going with that one. Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games this week, 3 against Texas, 3 at Houston, 1 lefty, 5 righties on the docket. Matt Wallner should be widely rostered. He went deep on Thursday, 100% rostered, as a matter of fact. Anybody else you're liking in this roster?
No, I mean, we talked about Festa at the top, so not going to rehash that. Carlos Correa is hurt. If that is an extended absence, maybe Brooks Lee, but not really interested there. So no, I don't have much here.
I did want to bring up, well, first off, Royce Lewis, just continue to be patient. Yeah, it looks good. Like, just be patient. That's all I'm going to try to say.
Although he's not playing regularly anymore. He's only started 3 of the last 6.
Because bad teams are going to stay bad. That's just the reality. What I wanted to bring up, though, is you mentioned Brooks Lee, and this is where me playing DFS every day has helped me because I would have ignored him. But they go to Oakland. He's like $2,700. I've been rostering him. Brooks Lee, heading into Thursday, was riding a 7-game hitting streak. We're hitting 300. No power, 1 steal. So he's not adding, but 3 runs and 4 RBIs in 7 games. I think he's just, you can't like fully write it off, is what I'm saying. He is a viable option, especially in a week where you get 5 righties in this set of matchups. And yeah, I think there's something there for sure.
Okay.
Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 3 at home versus the A's, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Not a lot for me.
Other than Jack Caglione, who's the may, at least in NFBC leagues, I think this is the highlight, right? I'm curious what you think. I'm actually like, and this goes against the Bloomfield motto, which obviously isn't all that successful, but like, I am actually prepared to go pretty aggressive at Jack Caglione. I think the playing time's there. I think the comp here is Nick Kurtz, except
better.
Caglione doesn't have the Nick Kurtz strikeout rate. It's better. Yep. I think the power is right there. And Nick Kurtz went crazy in Fab and started to pay that back a little bit before getting injured. So I think Jack Caglione is like, if I had to, I don't know. I'll let you talk and I'll think about what percentage I might throw at Jack Caglione in general. But what are you with me in my excitement for him?
Yes, you should be. That's why I was being sarcastic, but I have nothing to see here with the Royals. Yes, Caglione is going to be worth a lot of Fab. And you and I both aren't big Fab spenders on young players, but I could see this being, outside of the Roman Anthony hype, he's pretty much the last big guy. Like Bryce Eldridge, maybe, when he gets the shot. But there's not a whole lot more, and you're getting him for 4 months of the season, potentially. They're playing him every day in the outfield. He still has the first base. He's got first base outfield pretty soon, which will be nice to throw on the cherry on top. Just ridiculous power. That dude, I knew he's a big guy. Those tree trunks, my God.
Oh, he's a house.
He is a shit brick house. Like, this is a dude.
He Isn't makes it brick shit house?
Whatever. He makes Vinny P. Yeah, clip it. He makes Vinny P look small. Maybe. That's hard to do. Like,
be a shit brick house. You don't want to be a shit brick house.
No, maybe it's a Kansas City barbecue thing. I don't know. But yeah, he's a beast. And I would put a lot of fab in there because even when he was making outs in this early series, they are loud. They are very loud. And then to your plate discipline point, you don't see that a lot from these young ball players. I like everything you're seeing from Mr. Jack Caglione. And big bids coming up. I don't know how much I can bid and feel comfortable because I do need money for the rest of the season. But if you got some, it's at least
it's triple 50%. Digits. Easily.
I'm thinking about total fab. I think it's at least 50%.
I think to get him, you probably need to spend around 50. And depending where I'm at in standings, if I need power in some leagues, I do for sure. I think this is because like you mentioned Roman Anthony, but like everyone has stashed Roman Anthony. So. Caglione, his first game up 0-for-5, but had two balls over 112 miles an hour, double the day. Like, I don't know. I think this is one where like, I'm just going to shoot my shot. If it doesn't work, whatever. But like, I just think process wise, I'm honestly more excited for Caglione than I was Nick Kurtz because of the better play skills and the strikeout rate.
The part where it gets tough is like, I'm going to probably try to grab him places where I'm going to need him in the outfield more than first base, corner infield. That's going to be the tricky part. That's where you have to like navigate the minefield for a little bit longer. But like I would drop, we didn't talk about it with Cleveland. We should have. I'm an idiot. Kyle Manzardo's platooning with David Fry now. Kyle Manzardo's pretty much tough to roster. About
Cleveland
we haven't got there yet. Okay, never mind. So
yeah, thrown off because we're going.
Yeah, we're going backwards. We're going backwards. I totally thought I screwed that one up. Apologies. Well, we don't do this.
Exactly. We may have to go back to. Whatever. But no, Caglione will get, I'm glad you bring it up, but two of his three starts have been in right field. So I think pretty soon he will be first base outfield eligible.
And starting versus lefties. So we don't have to worry about the platoon. Like he started versus Liberatore. This is happening. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you. Long-winded way of saying I would empty the clip.
I'm just going to call him the shit brick house and let's see what happens.
SBH for short, folks. SBH. That's right.
We shouldn't curse. Shouldn't curse too much on the pod.
Oh, by the way, I need to find it somewhere. But just for those keeping track at home, I found it very funny. I saw it on Twitter the other day. Do you know that Jack JAC is actually his real full name?
And it's his initials.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's his initials, but he goes by Jack. It's his initials. So it's pretty. I thought that was interesting. Dumb brain of mine. Other than that, I don't have much for Kansas City, but yes, empty the clip on Jack Caglione. I say it different, I think, every time, so that'll make the listeners so happy with me on that one because they just
believe it's Caglione.
Caglione, thank you. Other than that, I don't have much else to offer for you on that one.
Same.
Detroit Tigers, they have six games this week, three at Baltimore, three at home versus Cincinnati, two lefties, four righties on tap. Detroit is swinging it really well. Your boy had a big week, still is having a big week.
Windseal week. Yes.
What else you got for us? You going back to Windseal this week?
I don't know. I don't know if it's Windseal week in a four-game right-handed week. We'll see. But Windseal Perez has played. I was a little worried with Parker Meadows getting activated on Monday. I was like, is Windseal going to play very much, but I think two homers and counting so far this week. So yeah, Wenciel Perez, like I don't know if I'll roll with him next week with the four, but has been a nice little addition, though even played against a lefty on Wednesday. So there is that. Outside of that, I did mention Parker Meadows, depending on like where you're at. Parker Meadows is only 58% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. Yeah, I like
that's a good pickup.
I think that's a really good pickup. And just because he was activated like on Monday, still could be available in your leagues, depending on what's going on there. But Parker Meadows did not start against a lefty on Wednesday, which is a little concerning, but it could just be, I mean, it was the third game back.
The note said it was just a day off because
he played the first two back. So and hit leadoff in those first two back and his fourth
game back. And was stealing bases right out the gate. Like, exactly. He's be back.
So I think Parker Meadows, if Parker Meadows is available, I think you can, I think you should be quite aggressive on Parker Meadows. Parker Meadows is really damn good. Outside of that, I'll just throw out Sawyer Gibson Long, the infamous Gibson Long. I think more just kind of a streamer, but would line up, I believe, for a two-step. Yeah, at Baltimore and against the Reds, at home against the Reds. So Sawyer Gibson Long.
Maybe. I think I want to see some more. I like the skills. I do.
I'm not super excited, but yeah, he's. Yeah. I think he's in a two-step. I think you go for him in 15s. I think you at least bid on him in 15s.
That's fair. I want to bring up a guy that we were hyping up for a few weeks. We've been quiet on him for a bit. That's Trey Sweeney. He actually got removed just because of production on Thursday. It's been dreadful for the last couple of weeks from him. Zach McKinstry's been playing shortstop of late. So if you still are trying to hold on to Trey Sweeney, please move on to a different spot.
Good call.
One thing we said Nick Hurts about seven times. He's expected back on Monday, folks. Should have mentioned that for CA segment. So get ready to put him hopefully back in. It's on the road, unfortunately, but he's expected back on Monday. Cleveland Guardians, the guys that platoon David Fry and Kyle Manzardo. They have six games this week, three against the Reds, three at the Seattle Mariners, three lefties, three righties on the tap here, which means three Manzardo games, three David Fry games.
Yep. Shout out to Wes Towney in the Discord for bringing that up. I did not pick up on that myself, and I have Manzardo in a few leagues, so it's tough to start Kyle Manzardo this week in a 3-3 split. It's also tough to start David Fry. So, yes.
Well, that's what I mentioned. I mentioned in my fab, I think it's either my fab column or the news and notes when he came up, I said, because everyone's super excited, I said, temper your expectations. He can only DH because of the Tommy John surgery. So that's going to screw some things up.
Yep, exactly. So it's more of like an avoid type of thing with Cleveland this week. I don't see anything else in terms of pickups. Schneeman's another platoon option, but again, 3-3 week, lefty-righty, you can't do anything there.
Any love for Luis L. Ortiz, who went into the Bronx and looked really good, and over his last five starts, it's been three earned runs or less, and he has five or more Ks in four of the five starts?
You frame the question quite well. I like Luis L. He's missing bats, 13% swinging strike rate, gets Cincinnati and then at Seattle for his next couple starts. So I don't know, definitely in 15s, maybe 12s.
Yep, I think he could be one of those, because when you look at the handy dandy sheet here, if you look at the matchups, the starting pitcher planner, I thought I saw his name up here. Unless it updated or something.
Luis L. It's there. He's down there a little bit though.
Yeah.
But Cincinnati at Seattle. So he's 114 out of 170 in terms of schedule strength over the next 2 weeks.
There you go. Chicago White Sox, six games this week, three at Houston, three at Texas, two lefties, four righties for the Sox. People, can you please pick up Miguel Vargas? I'd appreciate it. Mike Talkman, I mentioned him before. It's been all righties this week, which has helped, but he's producing it back in the lineup. So I'd continue to use him in the right situations, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd roll with him in a weekly 5x5 league, but points are OBP. Talkman is doable. We talked about Kyle Teal at the start. Outside of that, I mean, we're going to go stream against here. You mentioned Ryan Gusto, Framber Valdez, Colton Gordon, you also mentioned, and then Tyler Mahle, maybe Nate Eovaldi and Leiter. So those are names you want to look at, especially Gusto and Colton Gordon against the White Sox this week.
And I know I mentioned it once in a while, but if you're doing, if like in NFBC and you have biweekly moves, it's three righties over the weekend for Talkman. It's Mahle. I don't know if we get Eovaldi and Leiter. So he'll play pretty much all weekend. So deeper formats, he's viable. All right, we've made it to the AL East. The Toronto Blue Jays, six games this week, three at St. Louis, three at Philadelphia, three lefties, three righties, which makes it tough for the streaming game. But Addison Barger's up to 97%. Sharp people out there. What else are you seeing with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Right. Addison Barger also playing against lefties too. So I think you could even roll with them in a split week like this. He has graduated from Platoonville. He has left town. Andrés Giménez came back this week. I think you want to get him in your lineup, even though he's not great against lefties. I still think he plays and he runs. So get Giménez back in there. But outside of that, man, I know you're going to bring up Ernie Clement, so I'll just stop talking.
He's producing, man. He's 26% rostered. He's producing.
He is. He is, much to my dismay.
He's producing really well. As much as I keep getting flack for this, the boy's playing. He did sit versus righty once Jimenez came back, so keep that in mind. That could be something. Other than that, like, he's playing really well, but if he goes into a platoon with Andrés Giménez, then it's obviously less ideal.
Right, and you've got Barger at third, though Barger plays a little bit corner outfield too. So I don't know. There's competition there now with Giménez back for Clement, but I think if he stays this hot through the weekend, I think he got to keep rolling with him, I guess.
Yes, you do. It's so good to hear you say that. I appreciate it.
Next up on the list, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes, I say Tampa Bay Rays. I was done. I was moving on. Six games this week, three at Boston, three at the Mets. All righties for the Rays to face off with here. And this Rays team is rolling, but it's on the road. So that's a big thing that might change the pace of things a bit. But it's all righties. So you go into Meisner, Mangum. What are you liking here?
Yeah, I'm liking Meisner, Mangum, the low Lau combo. I'm sure is widely rostered, but yeah, in an already week, especially Cameron Meisner, I like that. And just, this isn't fab related, but holy hell, Junior Caminero is taking off right now. He has been absurd lately.
Yeah, I've been pretty pumped on that one. It's been great to see and roster, and I'm really bummed other people caught on early in draft season, so I couldn't enjoy it much longer. But I was on that drum. Pounding that drum for quite a while. So pretty happy with that. It sucks the pitching is widely rostered. I still don't want to trust Zach Lytle. I don't. Do you have any interest in Lytle?
I mean, it's funny, given all of the complete blow-ups in baseball the last few weeks, Zach Lytle has actually pitched well. Skills aren't that great though. So yeah, I don't know. I don't trust him. I've got him in a few draft and holds, but it's very much matchup dependent for me.
I'm with you there. New York Yankees, six games this week, all on the road, three at Kansas City, three at Boston, three lefties, three righties for the Yanks. I don't think there's a lot of moving and shaking you can do here.
No, not really. Potentially another, what's always a tough week to start Ben Rice, but in a 3-3 split, tough schedule. I hear Ben Tidd screaming through my ears in frustration as I speak there. But you got that. And I'll just also throw out, I mean, we mentioned Ryan Yarbrough the last couple of weeks, still only like 39% rostered in 12s. Let's see how he does this weekend against Boston, but would line up for another Boston start and then the Angels after that. So I will pound the Ryan Yarbrough drum. At some point I'll get burned by it, but he's pitching well right now.
It's a yearly tradition unlike any other, so I'm here for it. Boston Red Sox, six games this week, all at home, three against Tampa, three against the Yankees, two lefties, four righties. Most of the needed players are rostered. Let me do a little health check here on our boy Narvaez. Still only 58% rostered, folks. He should be a catcher, too. And he is the fourth-rated catcher over the last 30 days ahead of Will Smith, by the way.
There you go. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sure, Carlos Narvaez, you like that.
He is, I promise.
No, I know, I know, but like, good hell. Where's Yainer Diaz on that list, by the way?
Let me check again. He's actually moved up quite a bit. So while you talk about players, I will pull it up for you just to let you know.
I don't have too much. Marcelo Meyer is actually down in a platoon, so that's not great. Four righties coming up, so you might want to look elsewhere. Marcelo Meyer shares. Sven Rafaela's been very hot lately, widely rostered, but I feel like Rafaela is one of those guys you have a start-sit decision over pretty much every week. And I know it was a very cheap walk-off home run over Pesky's pole this past week, but it counts. So Rafaela's hitting well, so you may want to roll with Rafaela if he's on your bench.
Yes, Will Smith is fifth over the last 30 days. Yainer Diaz is 16th over the last 30 days. So
I can smell that beer now.
It'll be skunky. Last but not least, the Baltimore Orioles. Six games coming up this week, all at home in Camden Yards. Three against the Tigers, three against the Angels, three lefties, three righties, and they get Scooble in one of those starts. So T's and P's.
Yeah. We've mentioned this on the show before, but Baltimore has one of the wider lefty-righty splits as a team in baseball. And I was watching the Mariners this week, and they showed, I think it was Gunnar Henderson, who was like truly horrendous against lefties this season. You're still starting Gunnar Henderson, but like, ugh, especially with one of those lefties being Scooble. Like, that's tough. Does make up for it with Tyler Anderson and Yusei Kikuchi in the back half of the week. Yeah. Kikuchi, man. My God.
Brutal. It's brutal. Yeah.
What else on the Orioles? Colin Cowher's back, but widely rostered. So I don't know. What do you have?
Not a whole lot. If you want to get frisky, Cade Povich gets Detroit and the Angels this week. He was actually pretty decent for Seattle the other night. So just want to throw him out there for that one. All right. Any final thoughts? All 30 teams in the books, my friend.
No, it's going to be a fun week of Fab, man. As expected. But a lot of names, mostly on the call-up side. So it'll be fun.
Most definitely. All right, let's get to the most added and dropped player, our top risers, I guess, of the week. We don't do the drop part of it. And as you'd expect, Mauricio at the top.
Mauricio at the top, up 9%, up to 47% rostered in Fantrax leagues. Again, just to kind of mention it earlier, but I'm lukewarm on it, just given the playing time outlook and kind of some shaky plate skills. I don't know how well those translate. But number two, Addison Barger, we've talked enough about him. Parker Meadows, number three riser, up to 73%. Again, very much league dependent where you're at, but Parker Meadows is really good. Joe Adell, we talked about, pretty much talked about all these guys. Here's the mascot. Willie Castro is up to number six.
Who is at five?
Let's skip him. Screw that guy. Let's talk about the mascot.
I was going to say the mascot's playing great. He's 90% rostered in 12, so peek around, see if he's there. But the power showed up. He's running. Like, he's looking a lot better right now.
Yeah, that's Willie Castro, not Rengifo for Slick folks Willie. Listening at home. But, Slick Willie's playing well. Outside of that, these other risers, like 1%, not really worth bringing
up.
I
like the Dylan Dingler one. He had a big week, kind of woke up again. He wasn't hitting great for a few weeks, but he's starting to wake up again, kind of reminding people he's catcher two viable in a lot of formats. So don't mind that.
I like
at all.
That. Look at, honestly, look at Tyler Freeman. Projected to hit 290 by the bat the rest of the way. And again, this is more of a home road thing with the Rockies, but Tyler Freeman projected to hit 290 by Mr. Cardi. Through 60 plate appearances this season, has a 12% strikeout rate, and the Rockies are letting him run 31% stolen base attempt rate. This is deep leagues, but I did not even think Tyler Freeman had a pulse. He at least has a pulse, batting average, stolen base potential.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have wasted that much airspace on Tyler Freeman.
Played four straight games if we want to go there. 283, one homer, four steals, and 22 games. Yeah, you know, they're in a deep league. There might be something there. I'm not gonna say there's not, but I'm not there. If that helps at all,
that does help. That helps.
What pitchers are we looking at here? The usual suspects are at the top.
Usual suspects at the top. Sawyer Gibson Long, the top pitcher, has a two-step this week. Not going to even mention his skills. It's been three innings rehab, so it could be rusty. But I think in 15s, you want to look at Sawyer Gibson Long. I mentioned Ryan Yarbrough. He's number two. David Festa's number three, up 7%. Those folks that added David Festa this week in Fantrax, that's immediate buyer's remorse there. But I still like Festa. Like I said earlier on the show, the bad outing will probably suppress his price this weekend. Lance McCullers, we hadn't talked about. I thought he was kind of widely rostered at this point, 65% in Fantrax leagues. And then Mick Abel, number five, up 5% to 65%. And as we said, probably has at least a couple more turns in the Phillies rotation. So I like Mick Abel in the short to medium term.
Yeah, McCullers is 96% rostered in OC, so widely available there. Will Vest continues to get a save or two a week, so I like that quite a bit. Reed Garrett's getting some love when Edwin Diaz gets used a lot. Noah Cameron should be going back to AAA, unfortunately. There's Mr. Patrick Chad, the two first names. Yuri Perez is involved there. Our boy Palencia, Cal Quantrill getting some love.
You think, hold on real quick, because we hadn't talked about him. Noah Cameron, you do think he goes, he's pitched out of his mind. Skills haven't been there, but he's pitched out of his mind. You still think Noah Cameron goes back down?
Yeah, just because like you have Bubich, Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Lorenzen, unless they go six man. I know they want to kind of push Bubich's start back to get him some rest, so maybe Cameron gets one more start, but it's the Yankees. So, kind of nervous.
Okay. Yep. Good. I mean, I mentioned that because I bet Noah Cameron's widely rostered for people out there, and maybe have some plan Bs ready.
Yeah, plan Bs are always important. We have, just for those that were excited about Kubar Rocker, he pitched on Wednesday, got sent back to AAA on Thursday. So you get that going for you. Anything else on this list? A lot of kind of shots in the dark here is what I'd say.
Yeah, I don't have too much that we haven't, that we didn't bring up through the 30 teams. So I think we're good.
All right, let's get to the two steps for the week. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Merrill dominating the Braves. Kelly gets versus Seattle versus San Diego. What do you like?
Absolutely. Yep. Against anyone right now.
Yep. Jeffrey Springs at the Angels at Kansas City. That's kind of tempting, honestly.
Yeah, Springs' skills haven't been that great. Missing bats, kind of, but the schedule's juicy. That's like the Angels have a 69 WRC plus. Not nice against lefties. Like, that's terrible. And then the Royals are even worse against lefties. So I could see rolling with Jeffrey Springs. Yep.
In 15s, yes. 12s, I'm still kind of lukewarm, but yes, I get the argument for sure. Okay. Chris Sale, yes. Cade Povich versus Detroit, versus the Angels.
I mean, that's your guy, so.
I'm rolling. I'm riding dirty.
I think I'm rolling. You cross your fingers with the Tiger start and then reap the rewards against the Angels.
For sure. Brian Bayo versus Tampa Bay versus the Yankees.
No. Like, dude, he has been awful.
Bad. It's bad. The fact he has a 3.91 ERA is a miracle.
Yes. Coming off injury, the skills are terrible. He's not throwing strikes, not missing bats. A 4% K to walk for Bayo. No way.
Matt Boyd at Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh. Yep.
I love Matt Boyd.
Yep. Andrew Abbott at Cleveland at Detroit.
What a season. What a freaking season.
Got smacked around his last outing.
But I know, but yeah, man. Andrew Abbott, and pitching above his head, but still, Andrew Abbott, 19% strikeout minus walk is really good. So, you're all formats.
Luis L. Ortiz versus Cincy at Seattle. I'm rolling.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about him, so I like that. Even in 12s, you're rolling with Luis L?
I think so, yes. Especially since most of my ratios have been destroyed this past week with Luzardo or Brandon Fott. We might as well dance this week. Yeah, might as well get to battling on this one. Chase Dolander versus San Francisco at Atlanta. No.
I need to see it first.
Sean Burke at Houston at Texas.
No. Pitched
well on Thursday. Yeah, but well today.
Bad skills, low win potential. I don't know. The schedule's okay, but no, I'm not doing it.
15s, yes. 12s, no.
15s, no for me.
SGL, Sawyer, Gibson, Long at Baltimore versus Cincy.
God, that Baltimore starts scary. But in 15s, he would be an option for me. Yes, he would be an honest slam dunk, yes. But yeah, if I've got nothing else.
Like, I want to roster him for the long term. I'm scared to start him for this week. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ryan Gusto versus the White Sox versus Minnesota.
I think you go for the Gusto in 15s. It's the skills have evaporated since a hot start, but anytime you're the White Sox are one of your two steps, Minnesota's the other. Like, I think you try it. I've got Gusto in 15-team mixed labor, and I will have to think about that very hard. So
then you hope the Sunday Minnesota's like, hey, we're gonna rest a bunch of the guys because it's Sunday.
See where hope for rain in Houston, which has a dome. So great.
Yeah, see what you can do. Go for the Gusto. Hopefully, you don't get the Busto. Bubich, if he gets the two step, Yankees A's. Yes, you pitch him.
Yeah, right? Anyone. Tough schedule, but yeah.
Kikuchi versus the A's at Baltimore.
Well, if he goes back to the grip that he had with the Houston Astros.
What the hell?
Then you start him. But no, you can't. My guy, Jeff Zimmerman, Jay-Z, good article on Fangraphs today about just how bad Yusei Kikuchi's 155 whip, like how much actual damage that does to your team. And it's not really talked about. So I would recommend reading that, but maybe not if you have Kikuchi.
Are you dropping Kikuchi?
No, I'm not yet. But I fully admit I'm biased and am a Kikuchi stan.
Clayton Kershaw at San Diego versus the Giants.
No.
No, thank you. Thank you for that. Potentially, Yuri Perez for at Pittsburgh at Washington. First start since
first
Tommy
start
John
back
surgery.
Like I would say no, but if you just picked up Yuri Perez, I think you start with, you think you roll with him, but my concerns have been mentioned already with Yuri Perez.
I'm with you. Again, similar to Sawyer Gibson, long term, I want him for sure. Short term, terrified. Freddie Peralta versus Atlanta versus St. Louis. Yes, but it's been.
I still think auto start, but yeah. Yep.
But then I'll mention Quinn Priester versus Atlanta versus St. Louis, and he has had DL Hall open for him the last two times, and Priester's looked a lot better in those two starts.
No, I'm not doing it.
Okay, so I'm throwing it out there. Zebby Matthews versus Texas at Houston. That's a no for me.
That's a no?
He's not been good, Ryan. He's not good.
What are you talking about? He's got a 21% strikeout minus walk, dude. 12% swinging strike. 30. That's all green. That's all good.
Watching that A start Wednesday night was horrible.
A two-step with Texas and then at Houston right now? Yes, I'm doing
that. Okay, yeah, sure. You probably do, but I'm going to remember this.
You said no.
I'm not. I am not doing it, but I am also not rostering him. So there's that as well.
Tough.
Griffin Canning versus Washington versus Tampa. Yes.
Maybe. I like Zebby.
He looked good versus the Dodgers. He shocked me.
He did. I'm not as high in Griffin.
You want Canning versus Zebby for a beer bet?
Jesus, I was afraid you were going to do that. yeah, I'm going to do that with you. Let's do it.
I'm going to win a beer back this week. Hell yeah.
Zebby versus they both have to make
down like every week.
They both have to make two starts.
Make two starts. I'm looking at the Fangraph player rater for the week.
Yeah, you got it. My head was going right to there too. Yep, good call.
Yep, it was too easy. Yankees. Clark Schmidt at Kansas City at Boston. No. You could get a Zach Wheeler, which means you would do it. Pittsburgh Burrows versus Miami at Chicago.
No, but if you're desperate, he will be in my conditionals in 15 teamers. And I hope I don't get him.
Mitch Keller versus Miami at Chicago. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Nick Pivetta versus the Dodgers at Arizona.
Auto, even though the Dodgers, but yes.
See, they got Logan Gilbert in here. I don't think it's Logan Gilbert, at least for the first start.
We don't need, No.
Yeah. Landon Roop at Colorado at the Dodgers. Ouch.
Second start.
I say yes for that second start. Freaking terrifying.
Yeah, I'd roll with it, but.
Yeah.
Whew, that is tricky.
You want that Colorado start, but it's bad. That's a rough one. That's a rough one. Cardinals, Palante versus Toronto at Milwaukee.
No. No, I wouldn't.
Mikolas versus Toronto at Milwaukee.
No, never Mikolas.
His ERA is a whole run better than Palante too, which is wild. Shane Baugh at Boston at the Mets. No.
The way he's pitched lately, no. Yeah.
Jack Leiter at Minnesota versus the White Sox. Yes. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been okay in the White Sox. So yeah, I'll agree with you on that one.
Jose Barrios at St. Louis at Philly. Tough two-step.
Yeah, but you do it.
Yeah, you do it. And then Mac Gore definitely doing it at the Mets versus Miami. Get you some on that one.
Get you some Mac.
All right, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Another fun Fab preview in the books. Week 12. Any final thoughts? As I can't wait till 7:01 Sunday evening when I get your text saying how much Jack Caglione you got and for how much, because you do not like to spend money. So you're going to tinker with that bid so many times between now and Sunday. I am so looking forward to it.
Not something I normally do. So yeah, I'll text you. I will also, I'll be on the, it's going to be sweet. I'm going to be on the RotoWire show with Scott Genstad.
Going big time, folks. Big time. We might not be back on Tuesday.
Oh, big time. I'm stoked for that one. Scott's the man. I love that show. So I will be reviewing Fab with Scott Sunday night. So I'm stoked for that. Filling in for Jeff Erickson. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. That's going to be great. Must listen to. One of my first things I listen to Monday morning. As you're dropping the knowledge on that, maybe I'll sneak into the stream. We'll see. Maybe I'll razz from the stream. Make a beer bet live on. No,
just don't Uncle Ted us. Just don't Uncle Ted us. As he's in.
No, I can't type that many forward sentences in a row. But we'll wrap it up there, everybody. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ and his big time show on Sunday night with Scott Genstead as well. Go check it out. It's going to be some good stuff there. Find the podcast on Twitter at Bubba Bloom Pod and on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. I am on Twitter at BDentric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 249. Catch you all next time.